and welcome to another episode of the Ultra Happy Podcast. And we are, well, let me introduce myself first. I am your coach and ultra runner, Tania. And as you know, I'm coming here with all the info. And here is Andy with the stories.
Again, a terrible intro on your part.
Jesus. One day we'll get it right. All the, you know, feedback that I've been getting from the people out there is like they are loving the stories more than actually the info that I'm bringing you. So I'm a little bit heartbroken by that.
We've had a few people say that they were interested in listening to it from the clips, yeah, didn't they, because of the stories.
So I was like, okay, I thought I would motivate you, but I think everyone's just trying to listen all the funny stories that he has to
and
share about.
And we're in new surroundings, crazy. Something a bit different.
We moved.
We thought we would try something new, so we'll see. We'll see if we like it or not. I guess.
Let us know if you like this set in more than the other one. I think we were like too far apart in the other one. So
I don't know. I like that, to be fair.
Yeah, you're closer. I can like smack you if you're going to start going or saying like a bad
comment about you.
Uh-huh. Or like if you're going to like tell a crazy story, I can kick you under the table.
Well, to be fair, I think you've got quite a lot to go through today, so there might not be as many stories because you're going to be talking about
it. Oh, yeah, we had an exciting week, guys. Yeah. So we are 13 weeks away from the first desert.
Wow.
And yeah, we survived Blue Monday, what has happened in the last week. So we survived Blue Monday. I didn't even know Blue Monday was a thing until I saw it on, obviously, the media, but yeah. I'm from Mexico again, obviously, right? So I don't know, or people from Mexico or Latin America, if you're watching this, can you like enlighten me? Is this something that I missed? Or?
No, it's just because what happens is you get through Christmas and New Year and things like that, and everybody's a bit down, so they call it Blue Monday. But interestingly, I'd read a statistic saying that people who have New Year's resolutions or they're going to start something, on that Monday is the day that it's almost decided whether it's done or not. So 48% of people have not started their New Year's resolution or have started it and just fall off.
So, well, that's going to fit nicely with the topic today because we're going to talk about...
We didn't actually plan that,
but... No, but that's a great... Yeah, so let's go back to that thought later on the chat. So we're going to touch a little bit inconsistency, which is great timing to speak about that because obviously everyone is like pumped about the New Year's and all that. Yep. So that'll be great. And last week also I was able to catch up with the Lululemon team here. I was an ambassador last year. And yes, sadly my ambassadorship was over, but I still have a great community there. So it was really fun to catch up with the guys. Yep. And actually we had a friend coming over from London from that I met on the Jordan race. So, like you said, it was funny that I'm still in touch with that people that we shared that race, that stage race that I did last time. So, yeah. And weather here has been a bit wild. I don't know if you've heard, but yeah. Well, as you know, we're in Scotland. So it's the usual, like, it's usually windy. It's usually rainy.
We're running out of names for the storms here.
I know. Lately, we've been hit by a lot of storms.
A tornado.
I know there was a warm tornado as well. So it's been difficult to work around my training around it.
To be fair, you've come in a few states. I think the other day I genuinely felt sorry for you because you got caught in the rain and you were soaked. Yeah, absolutely soaked.
You
took your trainers off at the door and turned them over and water came out of them.
It's been very wet.
Yeah.
And that has been able to, like, I thank God I have a great coach that's able to maneuver and my plan is so flexible that I'm able to work around it. But it's been presenting like a little bit of a challenge, to be honest. Like my last long run on Sundays, I had to cut it off for an hour because I was getting like battered by that wind. And I thought, you know what, this is not worth my life here and I was getting so cold. So whenever I get too cold, if you haven't heard about this story, but last episode we touched about it. When I get cold, I get a little bit scared, maybe because of what happened to me. So whenever I get cold, I'm the one, like, I'm like a rat in that moment, just run away. Yeah. Like, nope, too cold, bye.
Yeah. So, the irony is your first race is going to be in the heat. Do you know what I mean? And you're running
heat,
in the cold.
I know, there's been no heat training. So, but we're still far away enough to not be very specific about, so as in a program as it works, is you work on the generic side of the building the fitness as far as you go. And then as closer you get to the race, then you start getting very specific. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of in the middle part of the program just now. So later on, I will definitely have to get some heat training, maybe some, I think for Jordan, I did the hot sauna for like a couple of weeks before and it was fine. Yeah. I would have liked probably to do it a little bit longer and hotter, but
to be fair, you could just run around our house because it's roasting.
I know.
Mexican heat, I know.
Mexican lives in there. But yeah, I've been doing that. And I know as well, my training is shifting now gears into a little bit more volume, which it's a love and hate relationship again. I was going from 3 strength sessions to probably 2 just because my volume of running is going to start increasing. So with that, I'm going to have to choose a new obsession to listen to and do while I hit the road for many hours.
Song is it this time?
Well, listen, last year I was the top 1% of Il Bolo listener. I even got a video, personalized video from Il Bolo thanking me.
No.
For
let's start again. I was the top 1% of fans in Il Bolo because Tanya uses my Spotify. So they thanked me, not her.
So you're like, why do I have my... Why is Il Bolo thanking me for listening to 5 million hours of the same song?
Between that, The Beatles, and Don't Stop Me Now by Queen.
That's it. That's pretty much Bolo in repeat last year.
Six songs,
but I have a reason for Il Bolo, though. So after my parents introduced me to that band,
yep,
and we actually went on a trip to Ferrara.
To Ferrara in Italy.
There was a concert there. My parents were visiting. So we were like, oh, my dad was like, oh, you know, it's close.
Yep.
Closer than in Mexico. So like, hey, let's go. And we had a wonderful trip. But after that.
Well, wonderful in the beginning. And then I caught COVID.
Oh, yeah. That was the trip that you got COVID. Okay. Apart from that. It was all good. We went to the concert. And I loved, like, obviously I heard them before.
Yep.
But just listening to them live was just a different experience.
Fair, yeah.
So I was like, oh, Italian sounds so romantic. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to learn, not Italian because that will be a little bit hard, but I'm going to learn at least 1 or 2 of my favorite songs. So what I do is I just put them on repeat on, I don't know, my obsessive head. So on repeat for a long run. So I try to learn the song. Or try to sing the song, you know, and it starts making sense. The more you start listening to it, yeah, you start like, and I can probably sing, I'm not going to sing it, but I could probably sing 1 or 2. No.
No. I mean, the thing is, we Spanish and Italian are quite close. So the thing is for you, when you start to listen to those songs, you kind of understand it. And then the gaps, what you do is you learn them so that what happens is you're, and then what you're doing is you're running your trail singing the song.
Exactly. And I'm just like, the good thing about here is Scotland, Scotland's beautiful. There's miles and miles and miles of nothing.
As Billy Connolly says, miles and miles and miles of nothing.
So I can go out to the trails, sing out loud my shitty Italian and no one cares. So it's just great.
And I wouldn't say you're the best singer to be fair, so
and
it's
then,
just
yeah, imagine that. That will sound horrible. But that's how I actually learned English a little bit. You know, like the pronunciation.
Well, in school,
in Mexico when I was little. That's how I learned, or how teachers would teach you a little bit of pronunciation. So I grew up listening a lot of Beatles, Michael Jackson, and that's how you, like, they will ask you to obviously memorize the song and sing it, and that way you kind of like mimic the words, and then that will help your pronunciation. So great tip to learn a new language if you are long times in the trails and you love language. You just can learn a song.
Is that how people sometimes think you're Scottish because you listen to the Proclaimers, 100 Miles?
Yeah. 100. Oh, no, I'm not going to sing.
Don't sing it.
I started singing already. That's bad. But yeah, so that happened this week and was it Saturday or Sunday. There was a very interesting Zoom call with the race organisers. So I'm starting to get the creeps, guys, because the time is like I can start seeing everything's getting really, really fast and close. I know we're 13 weeks away, but you know, there's a lot of things that have to be done. And we have a really, really interesting Zoom call where Sam, which is the organizer of Racing the Planet, and the race director, I can't remember his name, but he was also in the call. So they were all the participants, we were all in the Zoom call. So it was really, really fun also to see some faces of the people that I would be sharing that experience with. And yeah, they were able to tell us all the information about the race. They've been running it since 2016. So they've been doing that for a while, and you can see it and you can feel it. And the presentation was so well done. Yeah. And that gives me a little bit of reassurance and making me feel safe that, you know, I'm not going to go and get lost, or I'm going to get there and there's nothing prepared. Like, I know that I'm going to be well taken care of.
As always, with these calls, I sit in on it because you want me to have a listen to it as well. Because when it comes to you being organised, it's better having two heads. And I thought it was very similar to the Ultra X, where they knew exactly what they were doing. They were going around, they were discussing all the points. Again, I guess they've got to do it for all levels of people. But I thought that it was really, really clear. In fact, what I took away from it was
when you're running through, you might see
snakes, you might see springboks, and you might see hyenas. And I thought to myself, that's brilliant. I'd love to do that.
That's brilliant. You're not coming back. Yes. I was a bit shocked. Hyenas, like, are they friendly?
I think what they were saying is they run away from you anyway. Do you know what I mean? But you might see them out and about.
I'm just going to put a mental note, like, do not pet the dog. Have you seen that TikTok? Like, I'm going to pet that dog.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, Tanya, don't pet that dog. Don't pet that. It may be a hyena. So for all we know, stay away from that.
Oh, you remember the other thing I took away from it was remember and take poo bags.
Oh yeah, chat. We get plenty ones with the dog.
I know.
She even said they're like this doggy.
But actually, I thought it was. You see, when I was listening to it, I did think they were very organised. But I actually liked the company as well because they were talking about what the chat. You could maybe explain it a bit better about what they're doing with charity and actually for you to bring things over with you that maybe you don't even use anymore to give to the kids there or give to the families and stuff, and you can give back to them. And it's not, they're saying from a donation point of view, it's not even that much they want you to give. But I thought it was a nice touch, you know.
Yeah, I didn't know about that. I think it's, I don't know if it's the first time they're doing it or the second year, but I haven't heard of that, or even people that have gone before and they haven't mentioned that. So that was very interesting.
So like I said,
it was an hour call. It was really a little bit long, but they were going into like a lot of detail of the race, the logistics, the course, the terrain of each, you know, stage, the weather. I mean, they don't know 100%, but they can obviously give us like an idea and the equipment, obviously, that we're going to.
In fact, the surprising thing for me about the weather is they were saying that it was really cold at night. Yeah, really cold at night. You know,
this year was really decent as well because they put in the weather of that time last year.
Yeah.
And the weather didn't look that wild, which is like, don't think it's going to be like that because it could be like that, or it can be like freaking 50.
But
like,
it just shows you that you've already done a desert race in Jordan and it wasn't like that, but this one's going to be like that. So it shows you that they both are different. Mm-hmm. So you're still running through deserts, but they're at different circumstances.
And it was great because they were like, they broke obviously the stages in six. I can share with you all, maybe I'll put it on my Instagram there, and the pictures of each stage, how many kilometers or miles is it, and they were talking a little bit of the terrain of it and the views of it and like detail of it. I think I'm going to run through the salt Might salt.
The salt plains.
Salt plains, yeah, that's the word. Yeah, that would be cool. That was beautiful. It was like pink because that, yeah, what the salt does to
it,
the...
It oxidizes or something.
The, yeah. And then there's like flamingos as well. Like, oh, so it just looked, yeah, really, really...
It could be like a running safari.
That's it. That's it. And there's a lot of food in between. Like, it's like a picnic from point to point with a safari.
As long as it's not food, you're the food for the hippos.
For the hyenas. Oh,
for the hyenas.
I was a little bit worried about the travel situation because I heard like it's, I don't know if I can say this, Swakopmund.
I'll leave that to you.
Swakopmund. There you go.
Okay.
So South Africa. So I need to figure out how to get there. There's a couple of ways. I think you can do Cape Town and then there, and we'll just have to figure that out. But you need to get to Swakopmund.
And you'll need a visa for that as well, won't you?
Oh, yeah. I checked, and obviously some, you have to check, obviously. But UK, people don't. But, and then I guess it depends of which part of the world you're coming. But Mexicans, sadly, I think it looks like we need a visa. It doesn't look it's going to take a lot, but yeah, it's something I need to, don't forget. So I need to be in Swakopmund.
I think for the sake of the podcast, we'll call it South Africa.
Yeah, I need to get there April 26th, and the first race meeting, so the day that I'm going to meet all my new pals, is April 27th, so the next day in the morning. And in the afternoon, I will start to head over the first camp. So I just, you know, get that around again, get the visa sorted. By March, we have to submit a couple of things as well for the race, like insurance. So I need to find insurance that, and they give you a couple of, you know, characteristics that the insurance has to have. Like, yep,
definitely get insurance.
That, like, yeah, like repatriation.
Yep.
Take me back to Mexico, just in case if you see me. Like in the dunes. So yeah, you have to have insurance to cover all that and injury, you know, all that. So that's something I need to also start, you know, that's really good that they do it at this point because you need to start, you know, doing your research and all that, yeah, and get all those things in order.
As I was saying to you after the call, because some of it was, I mean, very simple, like it's a desert, obviously, and it's like, make sure you bring gaiters, make sure you bring this kind of food and that kind of food. And I thought for you, it's probably stuff that you would already know, but it's different levels in the race. There's people that this is maybe their first one, or maybe that is for the people, there's definitely people that are pros at it, you know? So I think
that's what they were saying. The lady was saying, what's her name?
Sam.
Yeah, it's a very inclusive race as well. Like she was saying, the checkpoints or the cut-offs are really, really, really friendly. Like you can literally walk it
all. If you had a decent pace, you could walk it.
Yeah. So that's really reassuring again that I know I just need to, obviously as a slow walker, I just need to, you know, keep a decent pace. And what I did in Jordan as well, that worked really good. And Jordan in every race, to be honest, I don't have the benefit of staying too long in a checkpoint, which again, it can be a blessing or curse. Yeah. Like I see people that they, you know, take a long time to sit down, eat, like rest, because they know they're going to make up that time because they're a fast runner. So they can, you know, make up for that distance, that the time that they took off. But me, I am slow. So pretty much I have to just touch and go, like get to the checkpoint and get out.
Being someone that's the crew waiting at the checkpoints on you, I get to see people coming in and out.
Yeah.
So I get to see people, and what they do is a lot of people come in and they've got like a crew with them, they've got a chair, they're sat down, they're like pampered, their feet are rubbed and everything. They're there for like 45 minutes. Whereas you're in, where's the goose? And then gone.
Out, yeah. or you can see the top elite runners. Yeah. Like you've seen Sarah last
time. Sarah. She's an amazing runner. Everybody was talking about it because this was the hottest day of the year. And she was.
We're talking about my 100-miler. Yeah, 100-miler, the last one he crewed.
And it was 100-miler. It was the hottest day of the year. And everybody's coming in. They are literally dying. And they're sitting down and they're getting drenched in water, drinking pulling ice out everywhere, trying to stay cool. And Sarah runs by with no backpack, with water on it, nothing. And somebody shouts to her, "Are you in the race?" She's like, "Yeah," and she shows her number. Like, do you not want
water?
She
was in a 100 miler.
Do you not want Sarah water? Fabian, she's like, "No, I'm fine." And off she went. She had like a small bottle in her hand. And I remember everybody at the checkpoint being like,
I remember tells me when I come, you know, when everything was finished. Like, I seen this woman. She just came in and out. It was amazing.
That's,
I was like,
I mean, that's super impressive.
That was probably,
you know,
Sarah, because she's absolutely
I think that's super impressive that you can train your body to do that, you know?
Yeah. If I train that hard, I don't think I would ever be. I mean, I know I'm not that going to be never that fast. Yeah. So I know my limitations, but that doesn't stop me to go and experience long races. I just need to work around my weaknesses, which obviously, like I said, I know I'm slow. What can I do to still make those, you know, still go and leave those experiences and still make it on time? So yeah, one thing that I've learned really, really fast in my running journey is that I have to be pretty fast in the turnovers and the checkpoints. So yeah, so it looks like they are going to have checkpoints every 10 kilometers, which is a great,
that's a great
distance. And you have to get out from each checkpoint with 1.5 liters of water. So that's something to consider in the packing. So I would like to pack around 8 to 9 kilos. So when I add the 1.5, I still, you know, my bag doesn't go over 10 kilos. Yeah. I would be very happy with that. So it's something to, you know, start packing, start thinking, how am I going to work around that?
I know you've not fully done your pack yet, but I've seen you practicing certain things now, you know, like where your poles are going to go. So obviously in your last sort of training there, I seen you put your poles in the front, you're trying different things.
Yeah, I'm starting to try different things. If I want it in the front, if I want them in the back.
Yeah.
I am going to have, so I am running with a red light 24 liter one. And I bought a front pack as well. So it's like a tiny front pack, which I haven't used yet. Yeah. But I am going to start just packing or seeing how much weight it's currently. And from there, we start cutting things that, you know.
Yeah.
And so they were saying also that when you travel, not to leave your bags in the hold luggage, because a lot of luggage gets lost. And I would hate to miss a race.
Yeah, because
just because my luggage didn't arrive. So that's another packing thing, because she was saying you're going to have to check in as a carry-on your backpack, the one that you're going to run with. So just don't put anything like stupid in there, because then they will go into ticket, like, you know, an open bag of, I don't know, protein, because they're going to take it away, and then you're going to be like, just think those little details, like, how am I going to pack? And if these, you know, if my bag gets lost or stolen or whatever, how is that going to impact in my, you know, like, just have to be very smart in how to plan and pack everything. So the 27, you get to the first camp at night, because the race, so the first stage, starts on the 28th. Fun.
Cool.
Yeah, looks good. And then they went through the six stages. They were very detailed on like each one. So they were going to be marked with pink flags, so I don't have to navigate. So that is,
it takes a weight off your mind.
Oh my God, that is going to be, it's almost like a mental holiday. Yeah. Well, nah, because you're like having to face the heat, but having not to navigate, man, it is hard. It's hard work.
Yeah.
Because usually most of the races here in the UK, I'm saying most of the ones I've done, I should say, are self-navigation. And I have to say it's really challenging. Like, and more if it's really long, the longest it gets, your brain starts getting really tired and you're like, I'm lost. How do I solve this? You start jumping barbed wires. We get a couple of those stories. Tanya gets lost.
Do you know what? There's been quite a few times now that if I can't be at the race, then what I do is I follow it on GPS.
Yeah.
And there's a few times that you've called and I'm lost. I don't know where I am. I can't find it.
Thank God there's like signaling.
And I'm like the eye in the sky, and I'm like, right, okay, so you need to go left. You can't. There's a forest there. Go through the forest.
Like, no, I'm not going.
Obviously, I can't see the barbed wire. Like, there's barbed wire. Go over the barbed wire.
I'm like, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to try to go around. And I'm just like, okay.
And then you're like, oh, I can see the lights. I can see the lights. Yeah. There you go. You're on track again.
The eye on the sky. I know. So I think twice. Yeah. I don't know if that's even like legal for the race.
Maybe
to have
not.
Like a second hand.
Maybe,
a second
maybe we'll
set
cut
of
that
eyes.
Out.
I know. Maybe I'm going to be disqualified for saying this now. But yeah, so this one, you don't have to worry about that. So that is great. They're going to put like pink flags, which it was the same in Jordan. They have like pink flags in the floor and just kind of like follow them. And every day, like I said, it's a stage race. So in this case, it's not like a non-stop one. The clock starts when you start and the clock finishes when you finish. Mm-hmm. So it's not a non-stop one where the clock just, you know, runs continuously. So yeah, you need to leave the checkpoint with 1.5, like I said, and there will be, when you come back from the race or when you're done, when you get to the camp, they will give you or they will allocate you 4 liters of water. So that has to cover your food. So you need to heat the water, your drinking water, and the 1.5 for the following day. So I guess like, and they ask you like not to waste it. So I guess no shower. I've been practicing that.
Yeah, I've been practicing that. But that's a chat for another time. So I have a question for you, right?
No shower practice.
So it sounds really organized, right? And when they were going through the list of everything, it seems everything's good and you don't seem too worried about anything when we talk about it. Is there anything you're worried about?
Apart from the hyenas?
Apart from the hyenas, yeah, the snakes.
Maybe at this at that stage, the last one, I'm going to really bad and they're like, oh, look, food!
Even if it's uncontrollables or whatever, is there anything you are worried about?
I am worried about, I've had one close encounter with a heat stroke. Early on the year last year. So I'm worried that, but I think that I can work around that. Like I'm going to put my head down, like plan my electrolytes and everything.
Yeah,
have
and we're
my
having
water.
The checkpoint. So like,
yeah,
that's
but still like,
decent.
I think once you go into that hole, just, I don't need to let myself go in that road, because once you get to that road, it's really difficult to bring yourself back from a dehydration point. So it's very, very difficult to kind of surpass or get back to the normal level. So I'm just not concerned, but I have it really in the top of my head.
Yep.
And number two is blisters. I think that's the one I'm more scared of, because that's something that can really take you out of the race.
I don't know, actually. I don't know the answer to this. Is there anything you can do to train yourself for blisters or
I
train
don't
your
think
feet?
So. Is there anything that you can do, guys? Please,
because
help.
Obviously, you get calluses in your feet when you run, right? As well. See, having calluses, does that make it any better or worse? Or I don't know.
I was very lucky in Jordan. Like, I even told you, like, I was like, why am I not getting any blisters? I got blisters, right? But like, the nice ones, like, oh, just a little bit of water, you pinched it, the water drained out, and that's it. They were not even taped or anything. Like, they were rock stars. But I also know that that was less time on my feet that I'm going to be doing in Namibia. So I am a little bit worried that because I'm going to be more exposed, I think it's going to be a little bit hotter as well.
Yeah.
That mix and that combination. And I'm worried that because that is like, it's not an injury pain, it's like a pain, like a different kind of pain, you know. It's not like, oh, my muscles, you know, sore pain. That is like an acute pain, like a proper wound pain.
Yeah.
I am so scared of that. I've never felt it. I think once very early in my career.
Yeah, you've had a couple of blisters
early,
in the past,
but
nothing
very
major.
Early in my like running career. Like,
in fact, you've had more blisters on your like weekend walks and stuff like that. And you have had.
But never an open blister wound. Never. So I am, maybe like I said, once maybe when I was started. And I know, and that was a very light one. And I know it hurts. And that was a really light one. Now imagine like a proper deep
Yeah.
Big one. I would die. Like, I'm so... like I said, I'm a wimp, guys. I'm a wimp.
Some of the videos and documentaries we watch and we see the people that are... especially the ones that are doing, like, the 200 milers and all. You see their feet and it's like their soles coming off. I can't even break in a new pair of shoes. Do you know what I mean? It's like when you get a blister, it's so...
I'm excited for learning more about that, because definitely something that I'm going to be facing in the 200 miler, which, remember, we're doing all this as a training for Cocodona 250.
Yep.
So I guess it's one of the things that I'm going to learn, how to deal with blisters, I know how to tape them.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, there's not much.
That's something you learn for the Jurassic Coast as well, about taping your feet better.
Just tape your feet and that's it. But I am scared of the blister being so big that I cannot control the pain. Like, it's
I wondered that, because obviously when you were saying
and there's
about
nothing
blisters,
you can do. If there's anything that guess that I'm missing, that's why I'm doing this. Please.
Let us know.
Help me.
Any doctors out there that know about blisters, then.
Is there anything? I've heard that there's a cream that you put and then it kind of like builds like an extra layer of skin, which I don't know. All right. Yeah, I know. If anyone knows the name.
That sounds like a bit of witchcraft to me. I don't know if I would be.
One, I don't know if it works exactly. Or two, I don't know if it actually exists. Or if it was one of those like stories from a runner that someone said and I remember listening to it. But I don't even know if it even exists. But I'm scared of that. The terrain. They went through the terrain very like... particularly. Overall, I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to bore you with each one. So in total, right, it's 35% is soft sand, which that is like the energy sapping one that, you know, like you walk and then the sand like just drags you down and then drags all your energy. That is the worst one. So it's only 35% of that. 40% of riverbeds. So that's like hard, soft, round.
It's dried up.
They also showed a couple of videos kind of like showing the terrain, which I loved.
Looks really cool, huh?
That's really cool that you can, you know, obviously, well, I'll tell you. And 25% of hard pack, like, you know, it, not tarmac, but just a little bit like roads, just dusty roads. And I think that's great that they show you, because obviously you cannot go and do the recce, which, you know, in a race, maybe a lot of people like to go and recce the route of a race. Yep. Like they like to go and practice the run on the trail. I am not one of them. I am the kind of person that I will sign up for a race and I just wait to see what's
you quite
what's
enjoy
up
seeing
this.
I what like comes it. Next.
Yeah.
I know you do.
That
I.
keeps me excited. And I think there's been two races that if I knew that was in there, I would have been back out. I'd be like, that would not be happening. Snowdon and Wales scared me so much. But I didn't know, so I just went there.
Yeah.
And then when I seen those big mountains. But if I have done a recce, probably I would have been scared and terrified. I wouldn't have shown up to the start line. So I don't like to do a lot of
I think
of
you probably would have, to be fair, still.
Well, maybe just because they were part of the Grand Slam.
Yeah.
But that would have changed. Like, I like to get to the start line with a little bit of excitement, like, let's see what's ahead. Like, I'm excited. But I know there's a lot of trail runners that they like to recce. Yeah. Like, they go a couple of times and they practice on the terrain and they practice their route.
But we talked about this before. You're not chasing a position.
Yeah.
So you're going for the enjoyment of the race and actually to get to complete it. Whereas people that recce it are probably trying to either increase a time or get a position.
I think there's obviously of everything, but I think some people also do it because they are scared of getting lost or you know. But I don't know. Or they just want to get there better prepared, I guess. I don't know. There's a little bit of like all kind of thoughts on that. In my case, I just like to be surprised. I just like to be surprised. So, so with that terrain, like I said, I think it's going to be just, I don't want to say luck, but we'll see how we go with the terrain and the heat.
Yeah.
Because that is going to be the mix that can make or break my feet and the blisters. So to answer your question, I'm absolutely terrified of a big blister that can definitely... And listen, at the end of the Zoom call, they were doing obviously some questions and all that. And one of the questions was what was one of the reasons, the main reasons why people pull out of the races or the race? And Sam said, because of blisters. So yeah. That kind of reassure my fear. Yeah. So I am absolutely terrified about that. But if anyone has any advice on that, I would love it.
You would like it, yeah.
I would love it. So yeah, the training, you know, for that, I don't know also how to train for that. There's not really nothing we can do to train the blister situation. Yeah. So but
another question is part of the training, because obviously from a food perspective, you're going to carry all your food.
Yeah.
And from... And I've seen what you pack for your food. So obviously it's high calorie, and then you've got like the
dehydrated winner.
Aye, the dehydrated food and stuff like that. See, because that's not normal. You're not your normal everyday food. Do you need to train for that? Do you need to train for your stomach? Like, would you, on the run up to it, or if you're going to do your training camp, like maybe a few weeks before, do you take that food and try it and see how your stomach's going, or is that another challenge?
I tried it in Jordan, that was like the first time. Actually, there's some people that are like, I'm going to practice before. And I just got there and I was like, this is the first time I'm going to open one of these envelopes. Yeah. And everyone was like, shocking. But you know what? I trust my gut. I have a really good gut. I know.
You've got a strong stomach, that's for sure.
It is a tank. Like, I can eat.
You can drink a bottle of Tabasco.
Yeah. And I can have a Bindaloo.
Yeah,
and
no
run
problem.
The
yeah.
next day yeah. perfectly. Like, I'm blessed with a good gut. If you are a little bit, if you know your gut is a little bit on the weak side or tricky, I would recommend to try it, obviously. Yeah. I found the foods really tasty. Some people found them really disgusting.
It looks horrible, to be fair.
But
I think once you get the hot water in it and stuff like that and you stand it up, then it's
but
better.
I don't know if it looks better though. It looks like just like a
mush.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't look pretty. Yeah. It's not something that, you know, you don't see the chicken and the bacon. Yeah.
I wonder that as well, because obviously that plays a massive part in whether you're going to be able to get through it or not, because the amount of calories you need to consume and the food is like, for me, that's your fuel to get you to the finish line.
Yeah.
So you need to...
So you do have, they ask for 2,000 calories on that.
Per day?
Per day.
Right, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So give and take around there. I spoken with a person that did the deserts before, and she mentioned that she preferred to carry less, so like be hungry and run lighter.
But she also said there's always food that people leave at the end of the night, so I'll just eat that if I'm hungry.
I don't know. I don't know if I would risk it though. But
you're carrying less.
Again, I'm a foodie. I know I'm a big person. I'm big and muscular, so I need more food. And also part of my training right now, I am building up muscle. I know with my nutritionist and along with my strength training, that's what we've been working on pretty much. That's been the objective, to get me as muscly as possible.
Especially for the first one.
As heavy and maybe even in the heavy side for the first one, because we need to remember that we're not shooting for just one. We're shooting for five.
Yeah.
So once the first one starts, my training is pretty much done. So I have to prepare my body for five really big hits, because once I finish the first one, I think I have, like I said, 4 or 6 weeks in between each desert. There's not enough time to build. Like in those 4 or 6 weeks, all my objective is going to be recover, fuel again, you know, get prepared for the next trip, and off we go. So pretty much I have to get ready for five punches just now, and I have to have my body, you know, really, really built up that tank that is going to be able to take those five hits. And the first, like every hit is going to, you know, take muscle away, fat away, everything away. And each hit is going to start, you know, slimming it down. And as much as I want to eat and as much as, you know, you're going to be wounded every time. So I need to, with that on my head, that's why we're building up for that. If I was doing just one desert, I would say my nutrition would be different just now. And I would like to get to the first race maybe a little bit slimmer, a little bit faster. But like I said, because it's not the goal, the goal is just to be able to endure the five ones of them.
Okay,
we're going to go into the... Am I actually looking a little bit like in the heavy side, and it is a little bit uncomfortable. Like I do feel myself a little bit uncomfortable, but you know, you have to do what you have to do.
Yeah.
So training wise, that's where we are standing at. And to be honest, I haven't changed much of my training. Maybe I added a little bit. You need to tweak here and there. I've been training consistently for 8 years. So that has been able to allow me to build year after year after year. So I just had to tweak certain things, add some peak weeks, train with a weight.
Yeah.
We're going to do some HIIT training later on. But being fit all year round allows you for that to, you know, do a tiny bit of tweaks here and there. Like you'd never start from zero. Because like imagine like trying to get ready for something like that from the ground up. I would imagine would be harder.
But you have said in the past few weeks that you're feeling really good, like
differently
good, you know, when you're going out for these long hikes or you're going out for these long runs now. And that's obviously with your trainer, your coach, she's getting you to that point where you have to feel that, you know. But you said that there was definitely a noticeable difference.
Yeah, and it's funny because, like I said, I feel heavy, like I'm on my heavy side, but I still feel quite strong. Yeah. So that's, it's a bit, it's funny.
But that shows you the need for a trainer. Exactly. Sorry, a coach, you know,
Though I'm a coach myself, I do like, and I know what she's doing. I would train myself like that, but I like to have that second set of eyes, like an objective mind. Because if I do myself, I would be involving a lot of feelings and I wouldn't be objective on my training. So that's why me being a coach, I like to have a coach in kind of like in the outsourcing. It's like almost like you like going, you know, you enjoy something, a meal better if someone cooks it for you.
Yeah,
you know, you kind of like enjoy it more.
But you need those check-ins. See your weekly check-ins. You need them because I think that what that does is it encourages you to do something or move forward with something else. Or I think that if you were doing your own plan, you'd probably, it'd be maybe similar. But I think having those check-ins gets you refocused. You're able to ask about how you're getting on and how your performance is, because obviously your coach checks your stats and all that as well.
Yeah.
So she's definitely, and I know she's coming on, but I think that you definitely need that as well, because that gets you to do more.
Yeah. And I have a strong, like I said, like a strong mindset, I think, and I even need a coach. So I would highly recommend to definitely, if you have the opportunity, get a coach, because that can make or break. And because of that, obviously, as well, it helps you to build consistency.
Yeah.
If you have a good coach, I think you need to find a coach or a plan or a program or whatever that aligns with your likes, you know, not try to do something like as the start and stop that I see a lot, and more narrow than in, you know, New Year's. That's where we're going into the consistency chat now, that, you know, we're going to see a lot of people training now, for example, marathon training for spring is coming. I see a lot of people getting in touch with coaches. I've got a couple of new athletes signing up because I want to do the marathon, and I've seen that. And then when they do the marathon, they cross the finish line and that's it. They go home and they sit down the next other 6 months.
Yeah.
But, and I was like, and having a coach is like, hey, we're going to recover now. How did you feel? What do you think we can work on? What do you think went good? What thing you think went bad? And that's where a coach can come, or yourself. Just do that thinking and then take those other 6 months to make a plan to how to tweak, how to make those bits that you thought, I didn't feel great. That's the moment to do that. And also build that strength, you know, block in there if you don't have any other races, or, you know, if your program allows it. Because at the end, you know, it's the objective, and even my objective is not crossing that finish line. I think the real finish line for everyone is, you know, dead. That's really the finish line where everyone's going. And I want to get to that finish line strong, happy, you know, turn around and say, oh my God, all the memories we did, yeah. all the crazy stuff I seen, the beautiful places I was able to go with my feet, or, you know, all these things I did on my own. I don't want my last days, you know, or my last thoughts be, oh, my family had to take care of me, or I was in a wheelchair because I didn't, you know, I didn't have any strength or muscle to stand up, or I was sick because I neglected my body all my years. And I don't want that to be my story. And we go back a little bit into what's the story you want to tell yourself. And I don't want that story to be my story. So for myself, and whenever I coach an athlete or whenever I look for a coach, that's my main objective. My main objective is to create that consistency, create a plan or have a plan that I know I'm going to stick to forever or for a long time. If I don't see myself doing something, eating a meal plan, whatever, forever, it's a no. And once you have that thought, that finish line, like I said, in my head, it's really easy to say no to the things that don't fit your path. And there's many paths to go to that end goal. You know, it doesn't need to be, you know, that the same plan, or if that path looks different for everyone. And that's the fun of it. Finding how, which one do you like and which one works for you. The best training plan is the one that you can do not only for the season, but that you can do for forever, you know, day after day after day.
I think a common theme in the podcast so far and over the three of them is we've talked about a lot about consistency and routine. I mean, definitely that's my friend, because I get up and well, I have breakfast, I get ready, I go to the gym. I'm pretty much in the gym at the same time every day. And I don't, it's like I don't even think about it anymore. Whereas in the past, used to be, what's the weather like outside? Am I going to the gym? Or, do you know what I mean? In the past, there maybe have been a reason not to go, whereas now, because it's so consistent. Yeah. It's like brushing your teeth, you know? It's just you get up to the gym.
That's the main thing. Like, that's the goal you have to get to that point of consistency, that you don't think about it. Yeah. And that goes into the three kind of tips that I would get to anyone if they're asking me, like, oh, I struggle, how do I go around consistency? And I'm not going to give you the normal ones, because I know, like, plan your day before and have a plan, have a goal. Well, you all know that, right? And you're still struggling. So the first one is, like you said, take out the feeling out of the action. So, oh, I feel tired. I feel like, just stop feeling, stop thinking, stop, just get in that mental strength that we talked about in the last episode. Work on that mental strength so you say, you know, no, or stop, or just block those feelings or emotions. Just for that particular, I'm not saying forever, and just turn yourself into an ogre. But just in that objective, just kind of stop feeling too much. I just wake up because that's what you do, and that's who you are. You know, and that's it. So you don't brush your teeth, like you were saying, when you feel dirty. You just brush them every day because that's what you do. So that's pretty much, you know, where you want to head. Number two is love and patience. I think we touched about it as well that last episode. I am big in this too. Love yourself so much that you don't let yourself get sick or get in a bad shape or get, you know, just neglect yourself. So I think everything has to come from a place of love and patience, because it's going to be forever. Like, it's something that you have to do every day. And if you want quick results, it's not going to work.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny, right at the beginning of the podcast, we talked about Blue Monday.
Yeah.
And I was telling you about that 48% that never come back. It's because those people are the people that are always looking for the quick results. It's not
I
like
think
that,
you know what? Mean? That... we are living in that era of Instagram, and everyone wants like those. And I've even seen them in TikTok and all that. 5 tips to improve your 5K. Yeah. 5 exercises to, because you have 90 seconds. And what they want to do is to, you know, that like or that follow. And I'm like, how are you giving me 5 exercises to improve my 5K? There's no magic 5 exercises. Yeah. There's no 30-day detox that is going to change your, like, it's not, there's not.
That's a really frustrating thing for me because, you know, obviously I watch a lot on YouTube and stuff, and I think that there's a crazy amount of misinformation out there.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of people that are saying, like you say, oh, lose belly fat in this way, do it that way, we'll target your belly fat first.
Oh, yeah, that's the other
one. And that's not possible, do you know what I mean? Jesus. But and yeah. I think that what's happening is because things look, when they do these ads or they do these things, they look so professional, so people buy into them. Don't fall for that. It's really, really difficult, I think, you know.
Just anything that sounds too good to be true.
Yeah.
It's probably it's not. You know what I mean? That was an old saying. But still supply.
But there's just so much
So many. And now that I was in New Year's and all that, you can see all these ads popping up. And, you know, it's just wild. So, although if it looks too bad.
Having said that, the New Year, people didn't turn up at the gym this year.
No.
No, so the gym, you know, like every year, you've got the January 1st people with New Year's resolutions. There's lots of them there, and they're people who disappeared. It was quiet this year.
It was quiet.
Yeah, strange.
Well, hopefully...
They're all on V-Shreds app.
Well, I don't know. She's just like, we're going to get a message from them soon.
Sorry, V-Shred.
Probably. Yeah. But just get to professionals. You know, that's why I say a coach that, you know, you have a certification. Same thing with nutrition. Just if you like it, but something that is balanced, well-rounded, you know, that is going to take you to the goal. And the third one is stay in your lane. I always say that and we laughed at that one because I liked it. It's just in my head because it's just pick one goal, right? Just one. Don't try to maneuver many of them because you don't try to do a marathon and lose weight and get super ripped for summer. And you're trying to do all this. And the truth is that they're all shooting different directions. And then you're going to find yourself just walking in circles or getting into someone else's road because you don't have your own journey.
Unless you've got something planned. Like, see, for a couple of your running athletes, what will happen is last year they done a marathon, and then what they done is you said, right, okay, they asked, can you do another one? Can I do another one? You said, yeah, you can because you're at a certain level of fitness.
Yeah.
I think the point is with that, as well, stay in your lane. Take professional advice about it.
Exactly.
Because even, and to caveat that, I've seen you with some of your running athletes as well, where you've told them, right, they've maybe done an ultra at the beginning of the year. And for a lot of people, they'd say, well, I've done my ultra that year, that's it. You would say, no, I want you to look for one between August and September.
Yeah, keep
them. I mean, because what happens is they need that extra.
If that's what they want,
if that's
of course.
What they want, although you, that's what they need to move on, but either still staying in their lane.
So
I think for just to clarify that, it's just
And then if your goal as well is to look ripped for summer, I mean, no shame on that. That's absolutely fine. And then
there's always hoping.
We are going to then shoot for that entirely. But don't try to do too many things at the same time because it's not going to be possible. And like I said, usually they all go different directions and it's just not going to work. So stay focused with whatever you're doing and stay in your lane. Stay focused is the second one because whatever worked for your friend may not work for you.
Yeah.
And we're going to start working or playing that comparison game. It's never going to end up in a good place. Yeah. So that even happened with me. That's why if someone asked me why I don't have Strava, well, that's why I decided to. I have it. It's open. You can go and check it. But to be honest, I don't go and check it. I don't go. I used to, and I realized like it was getting really toxic for my head. Like starting to. It's human nature to compare yourself. I think if you're seeing it, it's hard not to think, oh my God, this person is doing a 10K in an hour and my 10K is hour and 10. But hey, you don't know if that person, objective actually, or they're training to running that time in that, you know, my objective is to run longer. So why am I even thinking that I want to go faster? You know, and it's just, you start thinking a bit way too much. And again, I don't like to overthink things. So just stay in your lane, stay focused. And just do your own path. Don't try to compare yourself. Yeah. Or if that workout worked for him, is going to work for me? No, because we have two different lifestyles. We live differently. We have different genetics. He's a man. I'm a woman. He maybe works standing up all day because you were working in retail before.
Yeah.
And I have athletes that work, for example, in retail.
Yeah.
And his training or their training is going to look entirely different from someone that it's an accountant that are sitting down 8 hours of the day, or entirely different that if you are a busy mom and you're running around, you know, with kids and, you know, one, you don't have the availability, two, you don't have the time, or, you know, like it's just entirely different. So don't try to compare your journey, whatever it is, to anyone. I know everyone says it out there, but I think it's easier said than done. So just a quick reminder on that. And yeah, like you said, get in touch with professionals. I think it's super important. Something that we even said last episode, if I don't know anything, I'm the person who goes and asks and knocks the door. And now with internet, use the internet and all the TikTok and Instagram for good things. You know, you have so many specialists in your pocket. Like, just DM them. Like, you know, I know it's creepy sometimes, but I am the person that will DM them.
But it's finding the right one, do you know what I mean? Because like I say, there's so much misinformation.
And they usually, if they are they are very passionate about something and they are good professionals, they would usually reply and they would be super, super helpful.
I think we see the Instagram situation and stuff like that. For me, I think it's good that if you, rather than always go down this route of looking at the Instagram people that are influencers on sport or running or whatever, look for the people that compete in it. So, for example, look at someone that does ultras and follow them and see what they offer, what advice they offer. Look at someone that's a bit competitive, because I think they tend to give good advice because they're not selling it. They're not really looking for likes, do you know what I mean? But whereas I think that sometimes you can get lost in influencers.
It's good to follow them until a certain point. That can be very toxic as well, because that person, that athlete, that they're really good at that. For example, I follow a lot of people that are really good. Uh-huh. Maybe they are talented in running. They are born runners. Those tips that they are given, that's not going to work for me, because I'm a slow runner. Uh-huh. I'm back with the pack. I take my things different.
But surely that's better than an Instagram.
Oh yeah, an influencer.
Influencer
maybe.
That's a sport influencer.
So I would go more with a professional, with like a certified coach. And then also a good coach doesn't necessarily need to be someone that is out there running or winning races. There are really, really smart coaches and really, really good coaches that maybe don't even run.
Yeah.
And they are back, you know, because they are more scientific and they know their stuff. You know, in the other side, maybe they don't run, but they are amazing running coaches as well.
Yeah.
So instead of that, you need to find your own happy place where you like, you know, the coach and the way of thinking. And that's why we're going to have next session, Sara, my current coach. And that's one of the ones that actually I was. So if for reference, like I said, if you want to take tips or knowledge from a good source, there is the Bible of Ultra Running Essentials by Jason Koop. Absolutely mind-blowing. So good. I train with that a lot of athletes. It's just a great, if you are a coach or if you want to do your own plan, you're that interested in building your own program, I would highly recommend that is based scientific study and also athlete based book. And it's written by Jason Koop. Again, because I was looking for an expert advice, I messaged him.
Yeah.
he has a podcast, by the way. Oh, amazing as well. And that's another really good source of information.
Yeah.
And I checked with him. I was like, hey, do you coach people? Like, could you be able to help me, mentor me, or, you know, and he very politely said he was full at that moment. And I mean, to be fair, he does train like elites, like people that win the UTMB. But I was shooting high. I was like, why not?
Why not try?
But you know what? He works with CTS with a company called CTS. So it's a lot of coaches that are in the same level as him pretty much, and they all work kind of like as a team. So they are all really, really good, and he paired me with a couple of coaches. I had a chat with all of them. We have a small consultation with each one, just kind of to feel the vibe. Again, it depends, you know. Some of them were like really yoga, you know, related, which there's no shame. Again, if that's your boat,
for some people, amazing. That would have been nothing. Yeah.
There are some that were very volume oriented, you know, a lot of running, and that's absolutely fine. And then I seen Sara, which it was more down my lane of my way of thinking, yeah. You know. Like I said, there is many ways to get to that finish line. There's not only one magic formula to do it. So there was, you know, options. The good thing is I knew what I was looking for. I knew my likes, and that's something that, you know, you can look for in your journey. What are your likes? What are your not likes? What works and what doesn't work for you? So when I was able to go and shop around for the coach, I knew exactly what I was looking for. And when they presented me with Sarah, I loved that she was very, very strength training based. And I, like I said, I enjoy it, first of all. Two, I've seen the benefits of in my running and in my normal life. I think strength training is just marvelous for just as an, you know, normal
living.
I think it'll
be really interesting having her on, because she's coming from a different viewpoint from the coach to the athlete.
Yeah, so that's going to be interesting. I have a couple of questions for her.
It's going to be very professionally done. We're going to have a satellite link up.
And what?
A satellite link up. It's very professional. So that she, because she's in the States, isn't she? And she's going to be.
She's coming from the States. She's from the States. And she's going to be here next week. So guys, you're going to have two great coaches. I'm going to consider myself great as well, by the way.
Really?
Why not?
I know, absolutely.
I'm a super professional coach. I've been coaching for 5 years now. Yeah. So, yeah. I've been in that side and in this side, and, you know, and I've gone through my journey, as you know. So, yeah, not only, you know, in racing, but also...
That'll be exciting to have it on.
Yeah, so you're going to have two coaches for the price of one. So if you have any questions regarding your training, we'll have Sarah and me answering training questions. She will be answering, obviously, a lot of my questions that I have her for this particular race. How is she planning it? She will give us maybe some tips in how to plan your session. So if you are coming up to a season four training for a certain race, that she is going to give us great, great, great pointers in how to plan your program. And maybe a little bit more in strength training as well. Yep. And yeah, that's what's coming.
And how you want people to get those questions, just put them DM.
Yeah,
you
for YouTube, just put them down below in the comments. And for YouTube, it will be a poll there in your Spotify, will be a poll there in the Spotify app. And if it's a YouTube, just put the comments below. What are your questions for Sarah and for me? And we are going to both answer those questions for you.
And they can DM you as well, can't they?
Oh, yeah, DM me. We're going to put all the pictures and illustrate this today's podcast, as you know, in the Instagram at the Ultra Happy Podcast. Look for that. And then I usually put there the pictures for, you know, the things that we spoke about today, so you can have a visual idea of it as well. So that was everything for today, guys. Thank you so much for joining. Thank you so much for your comments and your feedback on the podcast,
it's been
super fun to get the messages and everyone commenting and that. So if you have anything, just let us know. And subscribe and like, share this if you find it interesting. And we'll see you next week. Have a wonderful weekend and keep doing whatever makes you ultra happy.